Anas ibn Malik said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather the believers on the Day of Judgment in the same way that they are gathered in this life. Meaning they're going to be together like human beings, they're going to recognize one another. And the people will say, let us find someone to make shafa'a for us in front of Allah. Let us find somebody to make shafa'a so that we can move on from the terrors of today. So the hadith is indicating that a long time will come. And that long time will make the people start feeling agitated, nervous. They will want to move on to the next stage, no matter what the next stage is. So they're going to hunt for one person who will then go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make shafa'a. So one of them will say, let us go to Adam. So they say, yes, let us all go to Adam. So mankind will come to Adam. And they will say to Adam that, oh Adam, don't you see how we are all in right now? Don't you see the situation? And you are our father. And you are Abul Bashar. And you are the one whom Allah created with His two hands. And Allah ordered the angels to prostrate. And Allah taught you the names of everything. They're praising their father Adam. So then they will say, Ishfa' lana inda Rabbik. You become our shafi' in front of our Lord so that we may relieve ourselves from the terror of today. And so Adam alayhi salam will respond, this is not for me. I am not worthy of this. And he will mention that he ate of the tree that he shouldn't have eaten from. He committed a mistake that he should not have done. And he will say, go to Nuh, as he was the first Rasul whom Allah sent. Adam was a Nabi. Nuh was a Rasul. So he will say, go to Nuh, because Nuh was the first Rasul that Allah sent to the people. So the people will then go to Nuh, and they will praise him and give the praise that is deserving of him. And Nuh will say, I am not worthy of this. And he will say, I asked Allah for something when he forbade me to ask. Meaning, when Allah said to Nuh, do not ask me about those that are not on your ship. If they choose your ship, alhamdulillah. If they do not ask me on the mujrimeen. Don't ask. And we know what Nuh did. He said, Nuh, my son, you didn't save him. And Allah said, he's not from your family. Laysa min ahlik. This is not from your real family. And Nuh feels guilty for disobeying Allah in this regard. And so he is saying, I have to think about that sin. Go to the one whom Allah chose as his special friend. Go to the Khalil of Allah. Go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And so they will go to Ibrahim and they will praise Ibrahim that you are the Khalil and you are this and you are that. And Ibrahim will say, I am not worthy, for I lied 3 times in my life. And I have to answer for those sins. And by the way, all of these things that they mention are utterly trivial. Nuh became emotional and he only asked Allah. He didn't challenge, he didn't get angry. He simply asked Allah. Now he's feeling guilty that I asked Allah. Ibrahim did not technically lie. All of these three things, they are called tawriya. Double meaning, double entendre is the term. That it's not quite a lie. That he is doing something that is for a greater good. In English, sometimes called a white lie, but it's not even a white lie, it's a double entendre. It means something that, you know, anyway, so he didn't actually lie. And of them is that when the people came to abduct Sarah, and they were going to kill him if he was the husband of Sarah, he said, she is my sister. Meaning, he meant my sister in Islam to save his life. He meant, she is my sister in Islam. So they left him alive or else they would have killed him. And he is now worried in front of Allah that he said, she is my sister. And he is worried, how will I answer Allah that I said this? Imagine that terror in their iman that has come, that I have to answer Allah. And the second one is that he said, this kabiruhum, this elder idol, this big idol was the one who killed. Because of this, he is worried. It was a da'wah opportunity. It's not meant to deceive. It's meant to make them think. And he's now worried, what will I say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the third one was that when he said, I am not feeling well, inni saqim, you guys go and you let me hear. And he is now worried, I have to answer to Allah that I said to my people that I'm feeling sick. And by the way, he was 13, 14 years old. And he passes away at the age of 120 and remembers as a teenager. Subhanallah, our teenage years, we don't even think about them, and that's better for us in many ways. But imagine if we thought about our teenage years and what we have done. And Ibrahim is worried that I told my qawm I'm not feeling well so that they leave me in the city and I can destroy the idols. So he is saying, I'm not worthy. Go to the one whom Allah spoke with directly. Go to Musa alayhi salam. And so they will go to Musa. They will praise Musa. Allah did this. Allah did that. Allah spoke to you in Tur Sina. And Musa will respond that I am not worthy. I killed an innocent man when I had no right to kill him. And the killing was not even, it was manslaughter. He punched, he did not intend. It was a khata, it was not amd. It was a genuine mistake that when this man was beating up the Bani Israel, the Israelite, when this man was being a tyrant, and by the way, I mean, given the dynamics we live in, imagine if, I don't want to mention too explicitly, but imagine if one of the power dynamics is beating up somebody whose people are, you know, you see what's happening with violence and police. Imagine, and now Musa comes along, all of that anger is coming out, and he punches, representing the dominant zulm that is taking place. And in that punch, he kills the man. So now he is saying, I have to answer for that. I'm not worthy. Go to somebody else. Go to Isa alayhi salam. And so mankind will go to Isa alayhi salam. They will praise him. They will say that Allah created thee without a father. He said, kun fayakun, etc., etc. And Isa will say, I am not worthy. The Prophet ﷺ will say, and Isa will not mention any sin that he has done. There is no sin even in his mind. And Isa was raised up at the age of 33, very young man, and there is no sin on his mind that he has mentioned, but he's saying, I am not worthy. Go to somebody else. Go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And by the way, these are the five ulul azm from the messengers, along with our father Adam. Six people they go to, one after the other. And this also demonstrates these five have a special status. Adam has the status because he is the father. Makes complete sense. The first of mankind. If there's any one person biologically, it's Adam alayhi salam. He's the father of all of mankind. Then if there's any in terms of maqam, it is the five that Adam sends them to. He begins with the one closest to him, that is Nuh, and the Nuh sends them to the other five, one after the other. So these five are called the Ulul Azmi min ar-Rusul, the messengers of great valor. Ulul Azm, their strength, their fortitude, their sabr was very strong. Their himma was very high. So Ulul Azmi min ar-Rusul, the last of them, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the last chronologically, but the highest in terms of status. They will go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they will say, you are the Khatamul Anbiya, the Sayyidul Mursaleen. They will praise him the way he is worthy of being praised. And then they will say, will you make shafa'a in front of Allah? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will not send them anywhere. He will say, Ana laha. This is my job. And so all of mankind will unanimously elect our Prophet ﷺ to represent them. The Muslim of them, the Kafir of them, the men of them, and the women of them, the ins of them, and the jinn of them. Everybody will unanimously agree, he represents us. And this is why it is called Al-Maqam Al-Mahmood, the praiseworthy station, because all of mankind will praise him. And why should they not praise him when he is Ahmad and Muhammad and he stands upon the Maqam Al-Mahmood? Even the Maqam Al-Mahmood is named after him. He is Ahmad. Ahmad means the one who has the highest quality of praise. And he is Muhammad. And Muhammad means the one who is praised in a quantity the likes of which we cannot understand. Everyone praises the Prophet ﷺ, the highest praise humanly possible. And the quantity, there is not a single second on this planet except that at least a billion salawat and salam are being said from around the globe somewhere. Somebody's in the tashahud, somebody's making dua, somebody's doing something. Hundreds of millions every second, no exaggeration, hundreds of millions of people at any second of the day, they are saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. They are saying their salat upon the Prophet ﷺ. How can any human being compete with that maqam? So he is Muhammad, he is Ahmad, and he will get the maqam al-mahmood, because he is the one that is praiseworthy and praised by the ones in the heavens and the ones on earth. And so he will go in front of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ will say, I will walk to the throne and I will fall down, فَأَخُرُّ سَاجِدًا. I will fall down in prostration in front of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, I will stay as long as Allah Azza wa Jal has willed that I stay. Meaning a time frame that he doesn't even have words for. He will remain in sajda. And then he said a beautiful phrase, فَيُعَلِّمُنِي مَحَامِدًا لَا أَعْلَمُهَا الْآنِ. Allah will teach me a way to praise him that I don't know right now. Look at this. He knows what's going to happen, but he doesn't know the details of what's going to happen. He knows that it is his job that he has to do sajda in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he knows that he's going to stay there a long time. And he knows Allah will teach him something, but he doesn't know what Allah will teach him. فَيُعَلِّمُنِي مَحَامِدًا لَا أَعْلَمُهَا الْآنِ. Allah will teach me a way to praise him. I don't know what that way is right now. And then when I say that special phrase, Allah will say, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irfa' ra'sak, sal tu'ta, ishfa' tushaffa'. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, raise up your head now. Now you can raise up. After Allah has given permission, raise up. Ask, you shall be given. In one phrase, hear, you shall be spoken. Intercede, your intercession will be accepted. Now, this is what is called al-maqam al-mahmood. Now the hadith goes on, and the hadith says that, then I will intercede. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow me to intercede, and He will tell me, فَيَحُدُّ لِي حَدًّا. He will tell me, demarcate for me, who to intercede for, and I will intercede for them, and Allah will accept their intercession. And I will then continue to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continue to intercede until it will be said, or I will say that, O my Lord, no one remains in Jahannam except those whom the Quran has given permanent Jahannam to, meaning those that were mushrikun, those that did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet ﷺ added in the same hadith that, يُخْرَجُ مِنَ النَّارِ, it will be taken out from the fire of hell, مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ, whoever has an atom's weight of iman, they will be removed from the fire of hell. And in one version, whoever says, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and has a mustard's grain of iman, shall be removed from the fire of hell, until none shall remain except those that have absolutely no iman. So this is the famous hadith of Anas ibn Malik. It is a very long hadith, and it is beautiful, full of wisdoms.